Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Lamed Vav. And we begin on the bottom of Lamed Hey Amud Beis with the Mishnah, four lines from the bottom. The Mishnah tells us, continuing the activities of Yom Kippur, Ba'alo Eitzel Paro. The Kohen Gadol comes to his par. He brings his own par. This is the par of the Kohen Gadol, which is brought for the purposes of Vidui for himself and for his family. L'chaper ba'ado va'ad beiso. Uparo haya omeid vein ha'ulam v'la mizbeach. And this par was placed in between the Mizbeach and the Ulam. The Ulam, again, was in the middle of the Azorah, and there were 22 amos between the Mizbeach and the Ulam, which, remember, we had learned early in the Masechta, you went up various series of steps in order to go from the Mizbeach into the Ulam. And you would go from the Mizbeach, which was more towards the middle of the Azorah, and you would continue going west towards the opening to the Ulam. And that's where they placed this par, and the par's location was Rosho Ladorim. The head of the animal would be facing south, but the face would be turned Upanov Lemarav. So again, the cow is going to be in a north-south orientation. We'll explain why this is so. And its head is facing towards the west, so it's turned with its face towards the west, but its direct body is in the north-south orientation, and its head is towards the south. And it is by the northern aspect of the Azorah, the Mizbeach. There are three different opinions as to where the Mizbeach was located. One opinion says it was mostly in the south. One opinion says it was more in the north. And then one opinion says it was half in the south and half in the north. According to the opinion here that the Mizbeach was in the north, so the par was towards the northern aspect of the Mizbeach, but its behind was not directly by the Mizbeach. Its behind, according to most of the poskim, stuck out beyond the Mizbeach because it wouldn't be proper to have the animals behind by the Mizbeach in case the animal would be marbitz gulolim, as we'll see later on in the Gemara. So therefore, the animal was north, but the actual behema itself, the behind of the behema, was beyond the Mizbeach, extending in the northern direction, but its face, its body, was in the north-south orientation with its head towards the south, but it was turned towards the west, towards the Ulam. If you wish to see a three-dimensional picture of this, you can, if you have the Masif to the Gemara on Daf Lamed Hey Amud Beis, the fourth page of Lamed Hey Amud Beis, there's a three-dimensional picture, and you can see this if it's not clear from what I was describing. In any event, Va'Kohen Omid B'Mizrach, the Kohen Gadol, was behind the Parah, so he was like against the Mizbeach, and he was east of the animal. He was holding on to the animal, as we'll see, he had to do smich on the animal. So he was, his behind was towards the Mizbeach, and his face and his whole body was facing towards the west, towards the Ulam. So he would then go, Somech Shtei Yodov Olav, he would go and place both of his hands on the animal. This is based on Psukim that says he has to do smicha on the animal's head with both of his hands. It's all based upon Psukim. Or Mizvade, and he did the vidui for himself, L'chaper Ba'ado V'yad Beso. The Kach HaYomer, and this is what the vidui included. On Hashem, he begged the Kodesh Baruch, he said, please, the Kodesh Baruch. Now this shame, according to most, was the Yudke Vavke. There is an opinion, however, that it was the 42 name of HaKodesh Baruch. And he would pronounce the name Yudke Vavke as it's spelled out, and not the Aleph Dalet Nun Yud pronunciation that we normally do. So he said, Ono Hashem. He said the same of HaKodesh Baruch Hu, and he said, Ovisi Poshati Chotosi. I did these various types of sins. Ovisi is sins that are done b'mezid. Poshati are sins that are done tzelahaches. They're rebellious sins. So it's not that he just did them intentionally. Ovisi is intentional, but he did them out of taiva, out of desire, out of lust, of unable to control himself. Poshati was, he could have controlled himself, and he bedafka chose not to. He wanted to anger HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And chotosi are sins that he did by accident. We'll explain this order more in the Gemara. We'll see it's a machlokas in Rebbeinu and the Chachamim. So he begged HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on Hashem, Avisi, I have sinned intentionally. Poshati, I have sinned even rebelliously. Chotosi, I have sinned by accident. Lefonecha, ani uvesi, I and my household have done this. On Hashem, he again repeated HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. Please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kapeno, please forgive me, atone for me, lavonos, for these intentional sins, la poshoyim, for these sins that I did to lahachis, that I did to, so to say, anger you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lachatoyim, and for the sins that I did by accident. And we repeat it again, shavisi, v'shavashati, v'shavatasi, that I did woefully, that I did to lahachis, to be morate against you, and I did by accident, Lefonech ani basing myself and as well as my household. As the pasuk says, Kagusub Besoros Moshe Avdecha, Kive Yom Hazeh, Yechaper Alechem, Lechaper Eschem, Mikol Tachatos Yechem, Lefnei Hashem Toru. Now, we just have Kive Yom Hazeh, Yechaper Vegomer. I read to you the entire pasuk, so we pleaded to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to please forgive himself as well as all of his family. We'll see later on, he asked for forgiveness for all of Klai Yisrael. Now all of the people heard this. He did this vidui out loud. So all the Kohanim and the Am that were standing there by Azara, when they heard him say the Shem of HaBeforish of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Onim Achrav, in the base of Migdash, you don't answer Amen or Baruch Hu Rach Shemo. You say Baruch Shem Kvol Machosol Yolom Bo'ed. Blessed be his HaKadosh Baruch Hu's glorious name and his kingship forever and ever. Some of the Farshim bring down that he didn't say the Shem of Hashem out loud clearly because there were inappropriate people when the years went by and there were more inappropriate people around and they listened to the Shem of Hashem and they tried to use the Shem of Hashem in ways that were inappropriate, so he didn't say the Shem of Hashem as loud, or they had people that would be singing along with at that time so they couldn't hear the Shem of Hashem said out loud. And again, as I mentioned before, Rav Haigon says that it was actually the 42 Osios name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the Kohen Gadol said. So now we turn to Lamed Vav Omer Aleph. And again, the diagrams that will be helpful in both the art scroll and in the Masifta. The Masifta has three-dimensional diagrams that are very nice to look at. The art scroll diagrams are very easy to follow, so take your pick, whatever you can have access to, make it a little bit easier to understand the Gemara, but I'll try to explain it without the diagrams. So Gemara starts off on Lamed Vav Omer Aleph, and it says, Man Shamis Lei, D'Yomar Ben Ulam L'Mazbeach Tzofon. Who says over here that one could place the behema, the power of the Kohen Gadol, that it could be placed in between the Ulam and the Mizbeach on the northern side? So this must be the opinion, that's what our Mishnah said, this must be in accord with Rabbi Elazar of Shimon. It only goes in accord with Rabbi Elazar of Shimon. Why is that? Because the Tanya, we learned in the Braisa, there will be three opinions as to where the power of the Kohen Gadol could be. The Tanya, the Braisa says, Ezeu Tzofon. What is the definition of Tzofon in regards to the placement of the animals of Kodesh Kodoshim have to be shechted in the north? So here we're saying that this power of the Kohen Gadol, which was a chatas, so it had to be shechted in the north. So our Mishnah said it could be shechted in the northern area that is in between the Mizbeach and the Ulam. So this opinion is going according to the following Tana. Again, as I said, it's a three machlokas. So this Ezu Tzofon, Mikir Shel Mizbeach Tzofoni. The first opinion is that the only area that's considered north is that is due north opposite the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach, again, went from a south to north orientation, and therefore, everything beyond the Kevesh and the top part of the Mizbeach, everything north of that, that is the area that is called Tzofon. And not only for the power of the Kohen Gadol, but all Chatos, all Kodesh Kodashim had to be shechted in that strip of land that was directly due north of the Mizbeach. That is the first opinion. And this is Mekir Shel Mizbeach. This is from the wall of the Mizbeach all the way Tzofoni, all the way north, until the Kosel, the Ad Kosel, HaTzofoni Shel Azara, until the northern wall of the Azara. So that strip of land is the only thing that's called north. Ukineget Kol Mizbeach Kulo Tzofon. And the entire area there, but only that area, nothing more east and nothing more west, is considered north, even though it's in the northern half of the Azara. And this opinion is Rabbi Yossi, Divrei Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. This opinion is held by Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. Along comes, and that's why the Gemara started off and said, the Tana of our Mishnah said that no, north is also the area in between the Mizbeach and the Ulam. According to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, that wouldn't have been good. So Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda certainly is not the Tana of our Mishnah. But the next opinion, which is Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, I think I just said Rabbi Yehuda a moment ago, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, his opinion is Mosif, he adds on, he agrees with Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda's opinion that due north of the Mizbeach is called Tzofon, but he adds on Mosif, Af Ben Ulam LeMizbeach, he adds on as well the area that is north in the east to west orientation between the Ulam and the Mizbeach, everything north of that, everything on the northern side of the Azara, in between the Ulam and the Mizbeach, is also called north. That's the second opinion of the Braisa. And the third opinion of the Braisa is not only everything that's directly due north of the Mizbeach, like Rav Yossi, Rav Yehuda, and not only everything in between the Ulam and the Mizbeach that's north, like Rav Elazar Rav Shimon adds on to Rav Yossi, Rav Yehuda, but Rebbe, Rav Yehuda Nasi, adds on Mosif, Af Makom drisas ragli kohanim, the af makom drisas ragli Yisrael. He adds on the 22 amas, the 11 of the Ezras kohanim and the 11 of the Ezras Yisrael. He adds on the northern aspect of that part of the Azara, which is east of the Mizbeach. He adds on that strip as well. And that strip, therefore, is in addition to the two strips that we already had. So basically, he says the entire Azara, all the way from Shar Niknor, as you come in, you go through the Ezes Yisrael, the Ezes Kohanim, then you do north of the Mizbeach, and then you're between the Mizbeach and the Ulam, everything on the northern half of the Azara, he considers that Tzafon, and you'll be allowed to go and Shecht, Kodshei Kodoshim, in that area. Now, everybody also agrees, Avol, Min ha-Khalifos. Now the Khalifos are the antechambers that are found to both the north and south of the Ulam entranceway. The Ulam entranceway is a large area, and it had chambers called the Beis ha-Khalifos that were due north of the antechamber entranceway into the Ulam and due south of it. So these were the two corners, if you wish, of the Ulam, and those areas that were north of the Beis ha-Khalifos, a small strip of land between the outside of the Ulam, north towards the northern wall. So that was the area also that is physically Tzafon in the Azara, but that everybody agrees, Hakamodim Shepasul. If you shecht over there, it's no good. That's not called Tzafon. So the entire area due north of the Heichal, which includes the Ulam, the Kodesh, and the Kodesh Kodashim, that is not roy to go and shecht. That's not called Tzafon, even though it technically is, for the Chiyav to go and shecht the Korbanos that are Kodshei Kodashim, such as the Chatas, in that area, even though it's north. But the only area that they all three agree upon that is no good is anything north of the Heichal, of the Ulam, the Heichal building itself. And we had a three-room machlokas for the rest of the Azara, the northern aspect of it. Rebbe says the entire rest of the Azara is good. Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon adds on to what Rebbe Yosef Yehuda said, that just the northern part of the Mizbeach is good. Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon adds on even the area between the Ulam and the Mizbeach. I hope that's clear, and I hope if you aren't able to understand it from what I said, that you look at the diagrams either in the Masifta or in the Art Scroll Gemara, and hopefully that will clarify it. So our Mishnah said that the Kohen Gadol stood with his par, Bain, the Mizbeach, and the Ulam, so clearly our Mishnah must be Lema, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, he. Our Mishnah must be the opinion of Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, because he clearly said that that area is good. But the Gemara says, are you implying below Rabbi that it's not Rabbi? Rabbi seemed to say that the entire area is good, not only the area that's due north like Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, not only Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, but also the area that was east of the Mizbeach. But that seems to imply that Rabbi should hold that the area that our Mishnah states, Bein Mizbeach L'Ulam, should also be good. So the Gemara says, are you telling me it's not like Rabbi, below Rabbi? So the Gemara says, no, Afilu Tema Rabbi, you can even include Rabbi. So Gemara says, the Bach changes the gears here and say, Hashto, the Rabbi, the Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda Mosif, that Rabbi also adds on to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, but the Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon Lo Mosif. We wanted to suggest that in fact Rabbi is not like the Shita that we just said. Maybe Rabbi didn't agree to add on the area between the Ulam and the Mizbeach. Maybe he only agreed to add on to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda's Shita, which was due north of the Mizbeach. Rabbi comes to add the area that is east of the Mizbeach, but not the area that is west of the Mizbeach. So maybe Rabbi and Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon actually disagree. Mar says, no, that's not true. Anan hachi kamriyam. We say as follows. E Rabbi hi nokbe bekuli azara. If you want to tell me that it's Rabbi, so then why are we bedakka shechting it only in the area between Bein Ulam and Mizbeach? According to Rabbi, you should be able to shecht it anywhere. So therefore, in fact, our Mishnah is not going like Rabbi. Our Mishnah is only like Elazar Rabbi Shimon. Our questions is and said, no, that's not right. Elamai, what do you want to tell me? That our Mishnah is Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon? So then why did Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon say that Bein HaMizbeach LaKosel is also good? We said that Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon adds on to it. If, in fact, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon says that's the only place you can do it, Bein Ulam LaMizbeach, so then why is he adding on to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda? So what must you say? He says you bedavka have to shecht it bein ulam lemizbeach, not because that's the only area that's called north. He agrees with Yosef Yehuda that the due north area for the Mizbeach is also called north. But why did he specifically state in our Mishnah that he should go shecht it being Ulam LeMizbeach and not also saying he can shecht it due north of the Mizbeach? That's because Mishum Chulsha the Kohen Gadol. Because the Kohen Gadol is very weak and we want to keep him as close as possible to the Heichal. If he has to go further away, he has a big day of activities. He's often was an older Kohen, and therefore you want to minimize the amount of area that he has to travel in the Azara. So therefore you put him as close as you could to the Heichal. Oh, so then if that's your reasoning, then Rebbe could fit in as well. Rebbe Nami, Mishum Chulsha, the Kohen Gadol. Rebbe also could be the author of our Mishnah. Why did he say you can shecht it anywhere in the north? That's in general. But for Yom Kippur, you specifically wanted to shecht it Bein Ulam LaMizbeach. Now we quote the Mishnah, we said, Rosho LaDorom Ufonov LaMarib. We said that the par was standing in a north to south orientation with its head south and its tush towards the north, but they turned the face towards Marif. So Gemara says, Hecha Mishkach Aslo. Exactly how did they do this? So as I just said, Amar Rav, Ba'okimis Rosho, they tilted his head. So the actual skull is in the north-south orientation, but they tilted the face towards the western area, and this is how the par stood. Again, north-south orientation, but its head facing towards the west. Gemara says, V'nok Leim Lehedja. Why did they just place the animal in an east-west orientation, have its head towards the west, and have its behind towards the east? And in this way, you don't have to worry about turning the head. So Abaye said, because we're concerned, Gzeiro Shema Yarbitz Gilolim, because maybe the animal, in the process of being shechted, will go and defecate, and in this way it would defecate towards the Mizbeach. It's pasnish. That's certainly not b'chovedik for the Mizbeach. So that's why they had the animal in a north-south orientation. As I mentioned before, according to most, the tush was beyond the northernmost part of the Mizbeach. So even if the animal would be matil galolim, even if the animal did go and defecate, so it wouldn't be directly by the Mizbeach, it would be beyond the Mizbeach, but it would still be in the north, and it would still be in front of the Heichal, in front of the entranceway into the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kodashim, so therefore that would be the ideal way that we set it up, in the north-south orientation, with his head turned, and with the behind part of the animal beyond, extending north of the Mizbeach. Now we learn another braisa, Tana Rabbanon, Ketzad Somech, how do you actually do the mitzvah of smicha? The mitzvah of smicha is that the Baalim, or in this situation, the Kohen Gadol, pressed with all their might, with both of their hands, on the head of the animal. So, in this situation, Hazevach Ome B'tzofon, as we said, the animal was in the northern part of the Azara, as we pointed out, between the Ulam and the Mizbeach, and upon of Lamarav, we turned its face towards the Marav, towards the Ulam, and this was for the Kohen Gadol, for his par. Now some suggest this was also for all Kodshei Kodoshim, and this is the opinion of the Rebbeinu Chananel and the Rebbeinu Eliyakim, who hold that in general, all Korbanos were situated in the same way that the Kohen Gadol's par was. That's not the most common opinion. The most common opinion is that it was only in this situation where you're shechting it right by the Mizbeach. In other situations, it didn't have to be right by the Mizbeach. So here, you wanted the animal to have its behind beyond the Mizbeach. But otherwise, the Menachem Meshev Nefesh brings down that normally the animal's behind is not Keneged HaMizbeach, and therefore there wasn't a problem, and you could have the animal normally in the east-west orientation. It was only for Yom Kippur that it had to be in the north-south orientation, and you then had to turn its head towards the Ma'ariv, towards the Heichal. In any event, the Gemara continues, Vasomek, the one that's actually doing the smicha, either Kohen Gadol for his par, or a regular Kohen who was doing a regular chatos or osham, whatever the Kodesh Kodashim were, Omeid, the Mizrach, he would stand eastward of the animal, upon of the Marav, but he would be facing with his face towards the Marav, or Miniach Shtei Yodav, he had to place both of his hands. Before I should bring down, this is based upon Psukim, the Tosus Yeshanim here says that Aaron had to place both Yodav, both of his hands. So Miniach Shtei Yodav Bein Shtei Kronos Shel Zebach. He would put both of his hands on the head in between the horns of the animal. Ubevad Shalhei Dover Chotzeis Beino Levein HaZebach. He couldn't have anything interposing between his hands and the actual Zebach. Again, this is based upon Psukim, as the Tosus Yishonah brings down. And then Mizvada. Kohen Gadol would then be Mizvada, or the regular Balim in a situation where the Balim had to do the smicha would be Mizvada. If it was a Korban Chatos, Al Chatos, Avon Chatos, they would be misvada if it was a karmachatas for the sin that they did that required them to bring a karmachatas. If they were doing smicha for an osham, al osham, so then they would have to do the vidoy for the avon osham, the reason was that they brought the osham. There are a number of different types of korbanos osham that a person might have done. We say them every morning in the korbanos section of the davening. So the different types of Hashamim that a person would bring, so you have to be mizvada. And likewise, if it was a korban ola, al ola, he also did a vidoy, he also did smicha and a vidoy, and it was brought for the avon of leket shichcha opeya. And now the gerusa that we have is meiser ani, but the Bach says, and this is really based upon Rashi as well, that we delete the words of meiser ani, which I'll explain in a moment, and this is divrei Rav Yossi HaGlili. So this opinion is that an ola is brought for a person who didn't take off proper leket, shichicha, and peya. Leket refers to those sheaves or bundles that fell from your hand when you were collecting them. Shichicha refers to bundles or sheaves that you forgot, you bypassed them for whatever the reason. And peya is a corner of the field that you're supposed to leave. All of these are for the aniyim. Now, Maiser Ani is also for the Aniyim, but it was mistakenly put here, Rashi says, because if you look in the Tosefta where this comes from, so it's not found over there, and that's because the Maiser Ani is included in the Vidui that a person says when he states that he brought all of his Trumas and Maisros. So in the fourth year and in the seventh year, when a person does Vidui Maisros, so he states specifically that he brought the Maiser Ani, and therefore there is no reason to bring an Ola to be Misvada on, as opposed to the leket, shichcha, and peya, which are not included in the vidui maaser. So therefore, you have to bring a korban ola and be misvada on it there. That's Rashi's opinion. Tosos and others disagree with this and say, what are you talking about? The vidui maaseros includes also leket, shichcha, and peya, and they have no problem including over here, therefore, the gears of maaser oni as well, and they have a different way of understanding this. We'll learn it nice and simple like Rashi, that this is no vidui over here for vidui maestros, and therefore you needed a separate carbon, an ola, to be mizvada for the lack of doing leket, shichcha, and peya properly. And this is the opinion of Rav Yossi HaGlili. Rabbi Akiva disagrees. Rabbi Akiva Omer, ein ola ba, the only reason you bring the carbon ola is because if a person transgressed elo al asay, he didn't go and do an asay that he was supposed to, or v'alos asay, or he did a los asay, but it's shenitak li asay, it could be corrected by an asay. For example, if the Torah tells us you're not supposed to steal, but then it says if you did steal, ve'yishivis ha'gzela, go and return the gzela. So therefore, you don't bring a chatas for stealing, because there's a corrective mechanism built into place. This is called a lav hanitak liase. This lo sase, do not steal, can be corrected by, if you did steal, go and return the item. So, according to Rabbi Akiva, the reason why a person brings an ola is because either it was for not doing an asay, or because he did a lo sase, shenitak liase, that can be corrected by an asay. So therefore, Rav Yossi HaGlili and Rabbi Akiva argue about the purpose of the ola. Now, what is the fundamental understanding of their argument over here? B'maika miflagi. So, we have two opinions over here. The first opinion is Rav Yirmiya. Omer Rav Yirmiya, and we turn to Lamed Vav Omed Beis. Rav Yirmiya tells us that Rav Yossi HaGlili and Rabbi Akiva are arguing B'lav Nevela Komiflagi. They're arguing about the eating of a Nevela. What status does that Nevela have? Now, the Pasuk tells us you're not allowed to eat, of course, a nevela, but lo sochlu kol nevela, the pasuk says, la ger asher b'shorecha titnena v'achola. You should give it to the ger toshav that lives with you, the righteous ger that is a zayin mitzvah b'nei noach type of a ger, and give it to him because he has no problems eating non-kosher things such as nevela, or omachol nochri, or if you wish to, you can sell it to a nochri. You should ideally give it to the righteous Gentile that's living with you, who's makabel Omach Hoshemayim, as well as Zayim Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. So the first choice is that you should give it to him, but if he's not around, there is no such person, so then you're allowed to sell it to a guy. Now, the primary lav is Lo Sochlu Kol Nevela. You're not allowed to eat a Nevela. But it's corrected by giving it to the Ger Toshav or selling it to the Nochri. So Rav Yossi HaGlili says that this is a lav and Itach Liaseh. Rabbi Akiva Savar, no, it's not. Lav ma'al yahu. He says that this is a full-fledged lav. You can't go and undo it. You ate it. So what are you going to do? Give it to the geratoshav or give it to the nochri after you ate it? You can't do that. And therefore, this is a regular full-fledged lav. It's not a lav hanitak liaseh. And Yosei Gilil Savar, no. Lav lav ma'al yehu. It's not a full-fledged lav because there is this corrective action that's attributed to it that you should give it to the geritosha or sell it to the guy. So therefore, it's a little bit like a lav in itakli yaseh, and that's the fundamental difference between Rabbi Yosi Aglili and Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yosi Aglili says, this is not a full-fledged lav if you eat nevela. It's a little bit like a lav in itakli yaseh, and therefore, you wouldn't be chayav malchus for it. And similarly, it says in regards to the gifts that you're supposed to give to the oni, la oni velager tazovo son. You're supposed to give the leket shichan peya to the oni, la oni velager tazovo son. So therefore, it's a little bit like a lav in itakli yaseh, and that's why, according to Rabbi Yosi Aglili, the ola can be mechapa for it. According to Rabbi Akiva, it's not a lav in itakli yaseh. Once you steal the leket shichan peya, it's too late. It's therefore it's a full fledged lav, and that's why Rabbi Akiva would say, you do get malchus for that. And therefore, according to Rabbi Akiva, him lavim gemurim. These are full-fledged lavim, right? Lav ma'ayahu. And therefore, they don't have a kapara with an ola. They only get a kapara by getting malchus. As opposed to Rabbi Yosi Aglili says that we don't give a malchus, and therefore, they can be miskapra with the ola. So that's the way Rabbi Yirmi understands the machlokas between Rabbi Yosi Aglili and Rabbi Akiva. Abaye has a different understanding. Abaye Amar, no, in fact, the Kuli Alma, Lav de Nevela, Lav Ma'al Yehavi. Everybody agrees, even Rav Yosi Aglili, that Lo Sochlu Kol Nevela means you're not allowed to eat a Nevela. Once you eat it, you can't correct it. It's too late to correct it. So therefore, it's a Lav Ma'al Yehavi, and in fact, you get Malkus for it, and it doesn't have the status of being a Lav Hayitak Liyaseh. And it won't help you at all that the Pasuk says afterwards that you should not eat it yourself, but give it to the ger, toshav, or sell it to the nochri. So then what are they arguing about? V'hocha b'tazov komiflagi. They're arguing over here, but the Pasuk says, in regards to leket, shichcha, and peya, it really is all three of them, even though we're going to only mention leket and peya, but it also includes shichcha as well. So the Pasuk says, tazov. Right? Leoni velager ta'azov osam. So it says ta'azov. So Rabbi Kiva sover ta'azov meikara mashma. Rabbi Kiva says it means that is the din. You must give it to them. You aren't allowed to keep it yourself, and therefore ta'azov is a tzivoy. It's a commandment that you must do this lechatchila. And therefore, if somebody doesn't give lekashicha and peya, and instead he keeps it for himself, so therefore the Torah tells him that you're over leoni velager ta'azov osam. And therefore, it's not a lav in itakli yaseh, and therefore, lokin alav. So Rabbi Akiva would say that you do get malchus for that, and therefore, you can't bring a carbon ola for it, because it's a full-fledged lav. Lav ma'ayuhu. But Rabbi Yosi Aglili Savar, no. Hashto mashma. It means that right now, it says, Leoni lager tazov osam. This is a person that kept it for himself. So it's not too late to go and correct it by now giving it to the oni and the ger. And therefore, it is a lav anitakli yaseh, and therefore you don't get malchus for it, and therefore you can bring a carbon ola and use the carbon ola. So that's Abaye's understanding of the machlokas between Rabbi Yosi Aglili and Rabbi Akiva. Now we have Bryce, Tanu Rabbanon, Ketzad Misvada. How do you actually do the vidoy? What is the normal way to do the vidoy? So here I pointed out there are two shitas over here. The Mishnah is following the Shita of Rav Meir, with the order being Ovisi, Poshati, Vichotosi. But then we'll see that that's somewhat problematic, and therefore there'll be a different arrangement over here of the words of the three different types of sins that a person did. The intentional ones, the Tzilahachas ones, that he's rebelling against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the accidental ones. So, the Braisa gives us both opinions. Our Mishnah only gave us the opinion of Rav Meir, which is the first opinion in the Braisa. So the Braisa tells us, Tanu Rabbanan Ketzad Misvada, how does one do the actual vidui? Ovisi, Poshati, Vichotosi. He says in this order, Ovisi, I have sinned intentionally against you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Bemezid. Poshati, not only did I do it bemezid, I did it tzilahachas, I did it to anger you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I did it to rebel against you. And Vichotosi, I also did it sometimes without even realizing I was doing a sin. And the chayin, we find similarly, b'soyer hamishtaleach, when the Kohen Gadol has the two seirim, one soyer l'Hashem is going to bring lefnai v'lefnim and do the service with it there, the other soyer he sends out to Azazel with the ish iti, which we'll learn about this later in the Masechta. So when he does the vidui on the soyer hamishtaleach, that's the soyer l'Azazel, he says also, hu omer, Vizvada Olov is called Avonos Bnei Yisrael. Here he does the vidui for all of Klal Yisrael, the par of the Kohen Gadol that was for himself, the Chiper Bado Viad Beso, and the Sorah LaAzazel that is for vidui for all of Klal Yisrael. So Vizvada Olov is called Avonos Bnei Yisrael. He has called Pishiyem L'chol Chatosam. So it says Avonos first, those things that he did, the Klal Yisrael did intentionally. Then it says all the sins the Klal Yisrael did, Pishayim, they did it to rebel against the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And then, L'chol Chatosam, it says the sins that they did accidentally, without intentionally doing so. So there too, the Braisa says, like Rav Meir. And likewise, V'chein, we have by Moshe Rabbeinu, when he says, Ashlosh Zimidos, in front of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, after the Klal Yisrael did the sin of the Chayta Egel, so he goes and begs the Kodesh Baruch Hu to save us, who Omer, Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Kodesh Baruch Hu, no seyavon v'fesha v'chato. So it says again, this order of avon first, the intentional sins first, the pesha, the merida, the rebellious sins second, and then v'chato, the accidental sins, divri Rav Meir. So Rav Meir, l'shitaso, he's the author of our Mishnah, and in this Braisa, he says this was the vidui, the Kohen Gadol, on the Sar HaMishtaleach as well, and this was also the vidui that Moshe Rabbeinu did for Klal Yisrael by the Chayda Deyega. But now we have the Chachamim Omrim, the Chachamim disagree. The Chachamim Omrim, no. Avonos, as I've already told you, Elu as donos. These are intentional sins you did b'mezid. The Chayinu Omer, as the Pasuk tells us, Hikares Hanefesh Ahi Avonah Ba. So Avonah means something that you did b'mezid, intentionally. Okay, Avon is intentional. Pishayim, that's a higher level of transgression. Elohim Aridim. These are things that you're rebelling against that Kodesh Baruch Hu. As I say, Tzelahachis, you're doing it to be Machis Ezboro. You're doing it to anger a Kodesh Baruch Hu. This would be like the person of Ovon, would be the person that's hungry. He passes by McDonald's and he can't stop himself. He smells a delicious barbecue and he goes inside and he has lusts and desires for this barbecue and he goes and eats the barbecue. What happens if there was a perfectly better kosher store right next to it? And the guy still eats from McDonald's. That's Silahachas. He's saying, even though there's a kosher burger here that's better, and it's cheaper, let's say, and it's tastier, I'm still going to eat the non-kosher stuff just to get you angry at Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's called Pesha. That's Lahachas Ezboro. And we have a pasuk that supports it. So Cheinu Omer, Melech Moav Poshabi. This is a reference to Yehoram, who goes and he turns to Yehoshaphat and asks him to join him in battle against Melech Moab, because Melech Moab was Morad against him. And therefore, this is a Lashon of Morad. It says Pasha, and that means to rebel. Then we have a second Pasuk, Yomer. Now, why do we need another Pasuk? So the Gevura Sari brings down that this is the Melech Yoram talking. Maybe this is not something that in general is Pasha B. It's only over here. So therefore, we have another place where it says that this is the Lashon that HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses, Pesha, to teach us Merida. And it says over there, V'omer, Os Tifsha, again, the Lashon of Pesha, Livna, that's the name of a people, Ba'esahi. So the city of Livna, they rebelled Morad, and this Peshia is Merida. So here clearly we see two sources. The second one certainly, if you didn't want to say the first one was enough, the second one certainly is to show you that Pesha means to rebel, Merida, against the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Lahachis is Boro. And then it says, L'chol Chatosom, this refers to Elu Hashkagos. These are things that a person did inadvertently, unintentionally. V'cheinu Omer, as it says, in regards to the Psukim, Nefesh Kisechet Obishkaga, if a person sins by accident, he brings a Korban Chatos. So we have these three types of sins that a person does. Now, the right order should be that you give vidui on the least offensive one first, and then the more offensive one, and then the most offensive one. So if you were to think about this logically, it would make sense to do what the Chachamim are going to tell us right now. The first you ask Kapara for the Chait, then you ask Kapara for the Avon, and only subsequently do you ask Kapara for the Pesha. But that's not what Rav Meir said. And that's what the Gemara is now going to question. Umeyachar shehizvada al hazadonos. After, according to Rav Meir, that you first did an atonement for the intentional sins, and then v'alamarodim, then for the tzalahachas sins. Okay, that order could make sense. Does it make sense, however, that after that, chozer mizvada l'shkagos, that now you're going to say, oh, and by the way, please forgive me for those accidental ones that I did. That's not the right order. Therefore, the Chacham say, Elo, this should be the right order. This was the order that the Kohen Gadol was misvada. He says, I did the unintentional sins. V'avisi, I did the intentional sins, but not tzilahakas. I did them out of taiva. U'pashati, and even the sins that I rebelled against you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lefonech, ani v'avisi, v'chula, we're begging you for forgiveness, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this is the right order. And we find that this is the order also, v'chein, b'David. When David HaMelech was mizvadeh, he also did this order. Hu Omer, he said, in Tehillim, chatanu, which is a chait, im avoseinu, and now the right gears should be, ha'avinu, we did avonos, and then hirshanu, that's a reference to merida, to rebellious. So again, it's chait avon pesha. And likewise, by the vidu that Shlomo Melech said, v'chein, b'shlomo, it says a similar idea, hu Omer, again, the right gears should be chatanu, first chait, and then the ha'avinu, that's what the pasuk says next, the avon, and then roshanu, that's the merit. And likewise, v'chein, b'Daniel, when Daniel was mizvada, he said the same thing. Hu Omer, he said chotanu, and the right gears should be v'avinu, chait, avon, v'irshanu, maranu. That's pesha. So you see, David, Shlomo, Daniel, they all did it right. So that's the Chachamim's opinion. Gemara says, no, Moshe Rabbeinu. He said, no, si avon v'pesha v'chata. Moshe Rabbeinu also did it in the order that Rabbi Meir said. Elamahu, Shama Moshe, no se avon v'pesha v'chata. How did Moshe Rabbeinu go out of order? So Amma Moshe, so the Rabbanim would explain that Moshe is telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Amma Moshe l'fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please, Rabbanim Shalom, b'shah she'Yisrael chotin l'fonecha ve'osin tshuva, if Klal Yisrael sins against you intentionally, but then they do tshuva, oh, in that situation, asay lahem zdonos kishkagos, make it that the zdonos, their intentional sins, their rebellious sins, should be like shkagos. That's what it means. No siyavu v'fesha, and make him like a chato. And that's what Rashi says. No siyavu v'fesha, you HaKadosh Baruch Hu can forgive them for their intentional sins and their rebellious sins like they did it kichatos shogeg, as if they did it all b'shogeg. Oh, so that's how the Chachamim would understand Moshe Rabbeinu, and they have to support them the way David did Vidui, the way Shlomo did Vidui, and the way Daniel did Vidui. No, Reb Meir still, however, he says, that's what Moshe Rabbeinu said, no, see, over the fesh v'chatov in akei, so it sounds like I'm following exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu did, and you're drush to make it as if they should make their intentional sins to be like unintentional sins. That's a little bit of a drush. That's not the simple pasuk pshat. So Reb Meir is fine. He has a pasuk Moshe Rabbeinu to support it. Amar Rabba Bar Shmuel, Amar Rav. So Rabba Bar Shmuel says the name of Rav. How do we paskin over here? What's the right order? Do we say Avon Fesha Chata, or do we say Chata Avon Pesha? So he says Halacha Kedivrei Chachamim that it should be Chatosi Avisi Upashati. Or he says, yeah, of course, Pshita. It's Yochid V'Rabim Halacha K'Rabim. It's Rav Meir as a single person against all the Chachamim. So of course we paskin like the Rabbim. Why do you have to tell me that the Halach is like the Rabbim? It's Pshita. So Gemara says, no. Ma'u detayim, I might have said the Rav Meir had such a good raya. Moshe Rabbeinu said, no si avon v'fesha v'chato, like Rav Meir, mistaber taimi, the Rav Meir, the komasaya lekra, because he has a pasuk to support him. Now, which pasuk supports him? Now, if you have the word in regards to the word demoshe, so then it's no si avon v'fesha v'chato. But most, and you can see this in the Agos by Rav Runsberg, as well as in the Bach and in others, so they all say that the word Demosh is incorrect, and it's actually referring to a different pasuk. This is the pasuk we had earlier, V'samach Aaron Eshtei Yodav, that's the pasuk we had, that he has with both his hands, Arosh HaSoyer Chai, V'zvad Olav, as called Avonos, B'nei Yisrael, V'es called Pish'eihem, and then L'chol Chatosam. So therefore, that's the pasuk. If you're not goris the word demoshe, so that's the pasuk that it's referring to. So I'm saying, even if you say that goris the word Moshe, it's still referring to that pasuk because Moshe Rabbeinu Torah is called Torah Kula. In any event, so that's why Rabba Bar Shmuel had to tell us in the name of Rab that the halacha is like the Chachamim because there's a good raya that the halacha should be like Rav Meir. So here you have to tell me it's not a simple case of Yochid Rab, Halacha Rabim. Here, since the Yochid had such a good raya, you have to tell me the halacha is like the Rabin. And in fact, Maisa Shahoya. How the Nochas came to Rabba, the once was a person that went to Davin for the Amud in front of Rabba, and he said the Avoda, right? Rabba already lived after the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, so they Davin Musaf Yom Kippur, like we Davin Musaf Yom Kippur, and he read the Avoda. And Avad Ki Rebbe Meir, he said the order of Ovisi Poshati V'Chotosi, like Rebbe Meir. So Rabbi responds to him and says, hey, you got the wrong gear. So Amalei, Shavach the Rabbanon V'Avadeto Ki Rebbe Meir, you left the majority opinion of the Rabbanon and didn't say Chait Avon and Pesha Chotosi Ovisi Poshati, but instead you said Ovisi Poshati Chotosi. You followed the opinion of Rebbe Meir over the opinion of the Rabbanon. So he said, yeah, taka, yeah. Amalei. So this person who was the chazan said, yeah. Ki Rebbe Meir, svirali, ki dechsid, b'seif for a rice of the Moshe. Because he has psukim that support him. Either the pasuk, no seil v'mfeshim v'tomin, okay? Or the pasuk, the hisvad, the olav, it's called avonos b'nei Yisrael, it's called pishayev, it's called chatosam. So therefore, it actually, taka is the way Rebbe Meir said. And amongst the poskim, they bring down. There are those Rishonim that hold like Rav Meir, and there are those Rishonim that hold like the Chachamim. Now bring another Brayis, the Tana Rabbanon. The pasuk says v'chiper, which means v'chiper ba'ado v'yad beso, that the Kohen Gadol has to get a kapara for himself and for his fellow family Kohanim. So the Brayis tells us this is referring to v'kaparas dvorim akosim edaber. This is the hisvada. This is where he does the vidui. That's what gives him the kapara. Mor says, no, maybe not. Normally you get kapara from zrika, from the blood applications. You're telling me, ato, merbe kaparas dvarim, it's the vidui, but maybe not. O eno, elo kaparas domim, the normal way, when you do the zrika, when you do the blood applications, so that's what gives you the kapara, not the vidui. Mor says, no, hare ani don, because I can learn out why that's not correct, because I'll learn it out from the following zereshova. Nemra kan, it says, in regards to the pirate coin godol, Kapora, the chiper ba'adov yad beso. Nemar lahalun by the sar hamishtaleach lazozel. It says also a lashon of kapora, as the pasuk there says vasoir asher olav hagorol lazozel yomad chay lifnei Hashem lechaper olav. So we have this lashon of kapora in regards to the sar mishtaleach, and we have the lashon of kapora the chiper ba'adov yad beso in regards to the parv kohen gadol. Now, in regards to the sar hamishtaleach lazozel, that was a kapara, kapara, hamura, besar, is devarim. That's vidoy. There is no zrika sadam, it's not a karban. So therefore, if that's kapara through the gzeir shava, that kapara is through vidoy, so too, after kapara, by the kohen goes par, hamura, bepar, is vidoy devarim. That is going to be the way he gets the kapara. And no, if you disagree with that, if you tell me no, v'yimnach shach lomar, if you want to tell me that no, you only get kapara because of the dam, so the Gemara says, "Hareyu Omer." That's why it tells us, "V'hikriv Aaron es parachatos shelo v'chiper bado v'yad beiso." And at that point in time, adayin lo nishchara par. So it says, "V'chiper bado v'yad beiso." That pasuk is before the shechita. So therefore, clearly, even if you didn't like the first raya, because you say no, it's not referring to the sorrow la'azazel. You also find by the sorrow la'ashem, it says the loshen of kapara, and that kapara is through the dam. So maybe you want to tell me that therefore the par of the kohen gadol is all through the dam. But how are you going to explain this pasuk? Now this pasuk is later on, and this pasuk tells us that Aaron got a kapara v'chiper ba'ado v'yad beiso, and then some even have the girsa the shachat only comes afterwards. And therefore, adayin lo nishchar apar, so that's clearly a raya that this kapara is through vidui and not through da. Now the Gemara continues and says, why did it have to tell me my im nafshach lomar? I already explained it. So now the Gemara asks, why are you telling me that that's not a good raya? It sounds like a very good raya. At Xer Rishava, you're comparing the power of the Kohen Gadol to the Sar Lazazel. So where it says, V'chitema nelef misar hanasa bifnim, because who says you have to compare the power of the Kohen Gadol to the Sar Lazazel? Why not compare the power of the Kohen Gadol to the Sar Lashem, Hanasi Bifnim, the one that was the V'chiper ala Kodesh, Mitumas Bnei Yisrael, Mipishayim, L'chol HaKadosam. So it's referring to the Sar Lashem. And there, Shekapa Rosso B'damim, there clearly, there is no Vidui. So therefore, that clearly is going to be a kapara through the dam. So compare the Sar Lashem to the power of the Kohen Gadol. So if you wanted to say that, that's why we have the Omer, Imnef Shach Lomar, Shari Omer, Bechiper, Vadayin Lunish Harapar. So that's why we have the second Raya, the Imnef Shach Lomar, to tell us that even if you were getting around the first Raya that we had through the Xer Shava by saying it wasn't Xer Shava from the power of the Kohen Gadol to the Sar Lazazel, it was a comparison between the power of the Kohen Gadol to the Sar Lashem, and that the Kapari is by Dam for the Sar Lashem. Nevertheless, Imnef Shach Lomar, Here we have the perfect raya that by the par of the Kohen Gadol, he got his kapara v'chiper badov yabeso, and only afterwards v'shachat. So clearly, the kapara he got for the par of the Kohen Gadol was through vidoi. Now we turn to Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph. We're going to finish off with this brisa by saying uminayin ba'ana. How do we know that you have to start off the vidoi with begging HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please, ana Hashem? So we learn that out from the following. It says, in regards to the par, Ne'emar Kan, in regards to the par of the Kohen Gadol, Kapara, Chiper Badov Yad Beso. Ne'emar Lahalan, it says, in regards to Har Sinai, B'chorev. Chorev is another name for Har Sinai. When Moshe Rabbeinu was asking for the Kapara for Klai Yisrael after the Chet Egel. So it says, also a Lashon of Kapara, because the Pasuk says, V'yato Ela El Hashem, Ulai Achapiro B'yad Chatasa. Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you atonement for your sins. So we have a Gzeir Shava between the power of the Kohen Gadol and the Kapara that Moshe Rabbeinu seeks out from HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Klai Yisrael after the Chet Egel. And by the Chet Egel, Malahalan, it says clearly that Moshe was Mizvada, and he said, Ono, Ono Choto Amazeh, Chato Gedola. So it's clearly said on over there, so too, Afkan, in the Vidui, the Kohen Gadol, we compare it, and he says, Be Ono. He also has to say, please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, forgive us. One more comparison, Minayin Sheb Hashem, how do we know that he has to say, Ono Hashem, he has to say the Shem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, either the Yud Kei Vav Kei spelled out, or Quinter of Haigon, the Mem Beis, Osiel Shem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How do we know that? So Ne'emar Kan, in regards to the vidui of the pirate, says again, V'chiper b'avado v'ad beiso, that's kapara. And it says, in regards to Egla Rufa, B'ne'emar be'egla Rufa, it also says Lashon of kapara, because it says over there that Kaper li amcho Yisrael, Asher podiso Hashem, Ve'altiti dam noki b'kerab amcho Yisrael. So there's a kapara by the Egla Rufa. So by the Egla Rufa, it says, Malhal b'shem, it says over there, Shesh, the Kohanim amaskir m'shem Hashem, so the Shem of Hashem is mentioned, so Afkan b'shem. So too by the Kohen Gadol, he has to say his vidui, he says, Ono Hashem. Now we have one last thing to clear up. Amr Abai, Abai says, I can understand Bishlama, why we have to learn Chorev, Me'egla Rufa, Le'yolev. Why did you need to have Chorev? Because you couldn't learn that out from Egla Rufa, because Chorev came before Egla Rufa. The Chet of the Ego came before the Dino of Egla Rufa were given to us. My dahava hava, it already happened, so therefore you can't learn anything out. However, Ella, in regards to the vidui of the Egla Rufa Talif, why don't we learn it out? Mechorev. So it says there the words ona. So why don't we learn that out for the Egla Rufa that you should have to say ona from Chorev? Gemara says, "V'chitem ochanami." And if you can tell me, you do have to do that. Gemara says, "What none?" It doesn't say that. It says Hakohanim Amrim Kapel Yamchu Yisrael. But it doesn't mention anything about Ono Hashem. V'ilu ba'ono lo komar. So why don't we learn out the Egla Rufa from Chorev? And the Gemara left it off with the Kasha. We don't have a simple teretz. However, whenever we say Kasha, there is a teretz. And over here, in fact, some of the Mefarshim bring down, the Sfasema says that you can be Miyashi this Kasha. He says, the Torah was Pirta Beferish, it said, Nusuch Sh'omru HaKohanim Egla Rufa. The low is skirubo honor. Here, the Torah told us, don't say the word honor. And that's why you don't learn it out through Gzeir Shava. As opposed to the vidui, the Kohen Gadol, it doesn't say anything what the Nusach is, so therefore you learn it out through Gzeir Shava. That's one teretz. The other teretzim as well. Again, kasha doesn't mean that it's irreconcilable. Now we quote the last part of the Mishnah. After the Kohen and the Am are standing there in the Azara, and they heard the Shem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Onim Achrov. So the entire nation answers afterwards, Baruch Shem Kvam Achsol Yolam Va'ed. Tani, we learn the rights, so Rabbi Omer, Rabbi tells us, the Pasuk tells us, Ki Shem Hashem Ekwa, Hovo Godel Elokeinu, and that's what this means over here. Omelem Moshe Yisrael, Moshe Ben Tos Chai Yisrael, Bishar Shani Maskir Shemo Shal HaKosh Baruch Hu, when we say, Ki Shem Hashem Ekwa, so then Atem, you, Chai Yisrael, have to respond, Hovo Godel Elokeinu. You have to go and respond, Baruch Shem Kvam Achsol Yolam Va'ed. And Hananya ben Achi Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Hananya, who was the nephew of Rabbi Yeshua, he was Rabbi Yeshua's brother's son. So he said, we learn it out from the following: Zechet Tzadik Levracha. When you ever mention a tzadik, it should be Levracha. So therefore, Omolem Novi Yisrael. So the Novi told Chai Yisrael, B'shar Shani Maskir Tzadik Olamim. When I mention Hakadosh Baruch Hu's name, if you have to say for a regular tzadik, Allah Chazkam for Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Atem tenu bracha. Zeichet tzadik, live bracha. You have to go and give a bracha. Therefore, you say, Baruch Shem Kvo Machuso, Leolam Vo'ed. With this, we conclude today's shir.